Welcome to Real Life Mentoring, where we explore real life issues to help you make an authentic difference in the world.
Hi, Chris and Christina. We're back with part two with the Big Six with Adam Young. Let me just recap part one. So Adam Young is a licensed clinical social worker with a master's degree in social work and divinity. He serves as a fellow with the Allender Center and is the host of the podcast where we've been introduced to him. It's called The Place We Find Ourselves. And so if you will look at his podcast, episode 159, it aired July 15th of 2024. He talks about the Big Six. So we wanted to tackle these as it relates to mentoring. So part one, we did the first three of the Big Six, which is attunement, responsiveness, and engagement. So go back and take a listen to those. Today, we're going to pick up with part two, talking about the ability to regulate your arousal, the ability to handle big emotions, and willingness to repair harm. Now, why is this important? Well, how you were treated as a child, the care that you got from your parents, the responsiveness, they were your primary caretakers. It had a huge impact on the development of your brain, which affects you today. So if you did not receive these things, this is good information to know. Chris, why talk about these areas?
Why talk about these for a mentoring podcast?
Right.
That's a legitimate question, because we take the holistic approach.
Mm-hmm.
So we are physical, mental, emotional, relational, professional, educational, and I think I left off spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
With that said, they all impact one another.
Mm-hmm.
And so when there is something that has been developed inside of my brain, it's how my mind perceives things, like a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it is assessed and processed and dealt with, it has an impact on my life today as an adult.
Right.
And so we want people to have meaningful, healthy relationships.
Mm-hmm.
So this is not an easy topic
No.
for a lot of people, and we really have a lot of respect for that, but it's really necessary. And getting on the other side of these things, it's going to be so good for each of us when we do that.
Right. And so when we bring these up, we want you to think about yourself in your childhood. Were these things attained by you as a child? Of course, all of us, if you're a parent or you have a niece or nephew, whatever, you're going to think about how you're treating your own child. But we want to think about your own childhood. Did you receive these things from a parent? Or should we just jump right in?
Sure. And let me just say something. Were they trusted mentor who, you know, cares for you?
Mm-hmm.
They're not a professional counselor.
Right.
But you can talk about these things with them.
Sure.
And it may lead you to seeing a professional counselor.
Right.
But it may not be necessary. But imagine having a trusted mentor that you could go back and talk about some of these things from your childhood
mm-hmm.
that you go, they are impacting me today. So could I talk about this with you?
Right.
Many people have never talked about this.
Right.
I didn't know these six areas existed.
When we heard about this, it gave me language like, oh, maybe that's why I do X, Y, or Z. Aha. Yeah. It's so enlightening.
And one of the things we really care about, people who are mentors, we want to give people ongoing tools
yeah.
and resources. And so
this is a huge resource.
It's a huge resource. We have listened to enough of Adam Young's podcast to know it really can help people.
Right. Well, let's jump in. Again, this is part two. Go back and listen to part one for the first three. We're going to tackle right now the ability to regulate your arousal, or he also calls it affect regulation. So let me just read. Arousal refers to the bodily sensations you feel inside during moments of distress. So as a child, if your mother was attuned enough to you and she was willing to respond and engage with you, then she was able to effectively regulate your arousal. She could soothe you when you were anxious or scared, or she could stimulate you when you were shutting down. This is so important because infants have absolutely no ability to regulate their own arousal, but if your mom, and we say mom because usually moms are the primary caretakers when we're infants, when this is so, so critical, they're able to calm you so that you learn how to calm yourself. We've got this beautiful example. We have a six-month-old little grandbaby boy, and he is precious. He is not able to regulate his own arousal. I spent time with him yesterday, and he was getting super, super fussy. His mom, she's able to regulate his arousal. She saw he was being fussy. She was like, oh, that's probably his little tired, fidgety self. She picked him up and she has this little bouncy thing that she does with him. And she goes, shh, it's okay. It's okay. What she's doing is help his brain go, oh, when I'm freaking out, when I'm uncomfortable, I can be soothed, and therefore he'll learn how to soothe himself. That's exactly what it's talking about.
Soothe himself.
Right.
One of the statements here, it says, and stimulate you when you were shutting down, okay?
Yeah.
I thought about myself as a young adult, or even when I was much younger in class, and I didn't understand something, and this fear would overtake, and my brain started shutting down. Therefore, the problem with that, Christina, is that I stopped hearing what the teacher was teaching, and I didn't get it. And I'm not embarrassed to say this. Fast forward many years, I was in my 40s. Mm-hmm. We had moved to Austria and in a German language class. Mm-hmm. Do you remember me shutting down?
Oh, heavens, yes.
I did not go into that class to shut down. That sounds ridiculous that a grown man would do that. I wasn't taught to regulate.
Right. Well, you were modeled. Things are hard. We shut down.
Right. Yet I was healthy in a lot of ways, mm-hmm. but in highly stressful situations like that German class initially, when I was put on the spot in front of the whole class, my brain was shutting down.
Well, we're not going to pick on you because there's plenty of to look at examples in my own life, but we saw this early on in marriage when we went on a ski trip. Do you remember our first ski trip together?
I don't have any memory of that. No, I do.
And you were like, nah, I don't need to take ski course. I can figure it out.
I was probably 31 years old, had never skied before.
Right. And so we go to the top, and you'd never been on skis before. And it wasn't coming very natural to you. And I kept saying, wedge, wedge.
But no one had given me the vocabulary for skiing. Right. Like wedge. That's how you stop.
Yeah.
Anyway, but I kept falling.
Right.
Finally, what did I do?
You took your skis off and you proceeded to march down. Shut down.
I did, in anger.
Yeah, ski patrol comes to say, sir, you can't be walking down. We'll need to escort
you. Did they really?
Yes.
I forgot about that.
I'm walking down.
I'm walking down. No,
I'm not picking on you. I'm just saying.
No, I'm actually kind of proud to think about those times because how God has changed me and developed me mm-hmm. Because I did not.
Stop right there.
What?
If somebody is listening to this,
yes.
And by the end of, you're going, dang, I didn't get any of those. First of all, welcome to the club.
I mean the six?
Right. And second of all, if you are a follower of Jesus, the Holy Spirit lives in you and can transform you so that these things can be learned. Yeah.
I actually sent this episode, not the one we're recording, obviously,
right.
But the Adam Young episode where he speaks of the six,
yeah.
to my siblings, because we all grew up in the same household
yeah.
and experienced very similar and yet some different experiences at the same time. And I thought that they will relate to this. So just to encourage you guys, maybe it'll encourage you, I did not receive any of the six that we've talked about. And God has done miracles in my life. So there's hope for you.
Well, and talking about this ability to regulate your own arousal, what it does is for a child, again, it impacts the development of the brain. It develops a sense of security that I am seen, I am known. You know, our little six-month-old Zion doesn't have language to go, my mother sees me, I am known by her. But because she's very aware of his arousal and knows when to stimulate him and when to let him be soothed or whatever, she's building in his brain good mechanics for him to be able to be a healthy adult and do that for himself. So if you didn't get that, that's what it's called, the ability to regulate arousal to your affect regulation. Let's move on to the fifth one. The ability to handle your big emotions. So what does this look like? Well, did your parents welcome your anger, sadness, and fear as a child? You should have been able to be free to express negative emotions, to cry, to rage, or to be quiet. You needed to know that deep down, your emotions were accepted and allowed. Wow. This, I think about so many examples where this was not the case,
Not the case for what?
For me. Okay. I was a very shy child. The few times that I tried to exercise a voice and it was shut down and not received, my inner mantra was, you don't share these emotions. they're not safe. And you know, as a 56-year-old woman, sometimes with you, we recently had a situation where I was like, I need to tell you what I did. I got hacked on Facebook. I mean, okay. I got not hacked.
What do you call it?
Scammed. Scammed. Got scammed on Facebook. And instantly, I was a little bit in my brain transported to,
I'm in trouble.
I'm in trouble. I did something wrong. The hammer's going to fall. But I went to you and it's like, okay, I just need to fess up. I got scammed. Anyway, that makes a big difference. If you were able, you know, we've all been, I was that kid. I remember distinctly, I was probably 7 years old. I wanted to go into a shoe store with my mom. She said no. And I yelled from the back seat, I hate you.
You actually did that.
I did.
Just not going to the store.
Yeah. Big emotions for this little seven-year-old body centered around shoes. Hmm. It probably had nothing to do with shoes. It probably wanted, I wanted to be with my mom and experience something. However, that's a whole other story. It was not received well, to say the least. Anyway.
Well, let me interject something here. We were newly engaged. I think it was the day, I don't know, the day we actually got engaged.
Yeah.
And we were at your townhouse, and so the bedrooms are upstairs.
Right.
And your parents were with us. We all had gone upstairs. I don't know why, to your bedroom to look at something.
Yeah.
And we're all walking back down, and you're first going down the steps.
Yeah.
Then I'm right behind you.
Right.
And then your parents.
Yeah.
I'm thinking everything's good. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, you collapse. You fall and sit down on one of the steps and begin to sob.
Yeah.
And I thought, what is going on here?
Uh-huh.
And I said, oh, what's wrong? And
your dad? What's wrong with
your dad? What's no? She doesn't feel good. And I thought, am I in the Twilight Zone? So I share that example. Did you know how to handle your emotions at age 22 or 3?
No. And what's interesting, when I had big emotions, the excuse was, "I'm sorry, I cried. I'm sorry, which I didn't express very well. I just don't feel good." If other emotions were people didn't feel good when they shared their emotions, that was the excuse. And so if you coupled with, okay, I had this emotional outrage, oh, but I'm sorry, I didn't feel good.
Which is actually not true.
Which is not true at all.
I mean, yes, we don't feel good. Sometimes we're emotional.
So what happens when parents don't do this? It really results in a couple of things. It could result in a suck it in attitude and don't share your emotions, suck it up, and your emotions aren't good. Your emotions are bad. For me, it was hard to express true emotions in relationships because I didn't feel confident that the person would stick around if I shared a big emotion. So parents have to be confident and healthy for children to just get it all out. That is okay.
So let's say you're an adult and you're in a mentoring relationship.
Right.
And you listen to this episode or you do reading on this, you realize, wow, I was not taught to handle my big emotions well.
Yeah.
It's okay. You can learn.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting, you know, what happens when we're on the job? If we let our big emotions out on the job,
we'll probably get fired.
Okay. Yeah. Or they'll think you are mental.
Right.
If you do it in a grocery store, shopping,
yeah, you'll get arrested.
There's a problem with that. You do it at church. We don't do that at church. We're all good.
Yeah.
But where do you do this?
Yeah, in the home.
In the home. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine a young couple getting married and they've not seen one another,
sharing
not knowing how to handle their big emotions?
Yeah.
And they're at home and it will come out. I can see where people almost feel devastated going, what has happened?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what's happened, it was handed to you many years before.
Right.
And now it's being shown to a new person in your life who's really important to you.
Right. Yeah, so much there to cover, but let's go on to the final one, the willingness to repair harm. Oh my goodness, this is a good one. So no parent gets it right. Every parent is going to make mistake. And what I really appreciate about this portion that he talks about, let me just read exactly what he says. You know, parents are going to get stressed out. They're going to be busy. They're going to be distracted. But he says the mark of a good enough caregiver is that these ruptures are repaired through a process of reattunement and re-engagement with the child. So what mattered to you as a child was not that your parents got it right each time, but that they recognized when they missed you or hurt you and responded in a way that brought comfort and recognition. Oh my goodness. If you are thinking about your own childhood, Can you imagine a time, Chris, I'll just ask you this question.
Okay.
Do you get a picture in your head of your parents doing something where they missed you, right? They didn't get it right, that they came to you and said, oh, son, sweet Chris, I am so sorry this happened. And it wasn't, oh, I was sick, so therefore I acted this way. I didn't feel good, so therefore I am so sorry this happened. I got it wrong. That should not happen. You don't deserve that. I am so sorry. Please forgive me. Was that ever a case in your home?
Unfortunately, it wasn't. And I...
Let's just pause
I don't
there.
Like that. But it actually gives me understanding, compassion for other people as well who haven't had that.
If that was you, we want to say, we're so sorry. That's our story. It's important to realize the role that plays for a child. Again, it plays into that I'm a person who is seen and heard and understood. And I think it's so valuable, and the research supports this. And we're not talking about an abusive parent who goes back and I'm so sorry, I'll never do it again. And then the cycle continues. No, we're talking about a genuine heartbreak over getting something wrong and making it right. That's just so valuable. We have an example of our sweet middle daughter when she was a little one, like 3, right?
Well, I want to go back to the actual statement.
Yeah.
Willingness to repair harm. Mm. We first have to acknowledge and accept the fact that we caused harm to another person.
Harm.
And we're talking about our children, if you're a parent right now. So if that's not done, you can't go anywhere else with that.
Yeah.
You have to acknowledge, I caused some damage here that needs to be repaired. I don't like that, Christina. You and I caused some damage with raising our girls.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of an example right now, but I promise you, if I took some time to think mm-hmm. about it and then talk to them today, mm-hmm. we would come up with some examples.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have to ask them. But I believe when we blew it, we caused harm, we made it right.
Let me insert this. I don't think it's ever too late. All of our daughters are adults. I have had instances, especially with our first daughter, our oldest, where I remembered something and have gone back years later to say, you know, and yeah, it's just never too late to be specific, to be heartfelt, to repair that damage, the willingness to repair.
Just so the example you mentioned earlier, our middle daughter was 3 years old, middle child, and she's a deep processor, mm-hmm. even as a little girl.
Super tender.
Yeah, very tender, did not express herself verbally as much as the other two. And we didn't use the word shut up in our house.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that was unacceptable. It was said, I think, growing up in my house, and it feels degrading to me.
Mm.
So we had decided early on, that's not what we're going to do in this house. So it was never said. So unfortunately, one day I was stressed. I said, well, is that the reason I did it? I was stressed and I did it. So our 3-year-old walks into the room and she's trying to talk to me. And finally I looked at her, I said, Parker, be quiet. Finally, she just kept going. I said, Parker, shut up.
Hmm.
And that little 3-year-old, completely quiet, if I remember correctly, huge tears start rolling down her face. And I felt horrible. Mm-hmm. And she lowered her little head. She was tiny at this point, which made it worse for me.
Mm.
And she said, Dad, why do you say those mean words to me?
Oh.
A 3-year-old knew that is not acceptable. You don't treat someone that way.
Yeah.
Because we had taught her that.
Sure.
It crushed her soul.
Mm.
Now, I could have said, oh, my goodness, get over it.
Right.
I've only said shut up one time in your life. You're 3 years old. I would have done major damage. Thank goodness I had enough maturity at that point to look at her and go, I need to pay attention. Would that be ability to regulate her affect?
Sure, but also your willingness to repair harm.
Yeah, you're right. So she had this big emotion that I brought on, okay? Anyway, so I knelt down and hugged her. I said, oh, Parker, I am so sorry. Would you please forgive me? And she forgave me. But that still resonates with me.
Yeah, it still makes us sad.
It does. It's interesting. I imagine hurting the soul of another person mm-hmm. who you care about.
Yeah.
Why would we not want to make it right?
Yeah. So the point in all of this is not to look at our childhoods and go, oh, I didn't get any of this, poor me, poor me. But when we are able to see into our past to make some aha moments to go, ah, this explains a lot to me, then we can do the hard work of healing from that. So I want to just read a last statement that Adam Young actually makes. If you go to his website, you can get free resources. The Big Six is one of the free resources that you could get, but he makes this comment. If your parents were attuned to you, responsive to your needs, engaged with your heart, able to regulate your arousal, and strong enough to handle your negative emotions, and they were willing to repair when they messed up, then the result was a secure attachment. If your relationship with your parents was not marked by these things, then you likely developed an insecure attachment. And when you come to that realization, then you can gain tools to get healing from that. It just makes a huge difference when you realize, aha, I'm acting this way because of an insecure attachment from my childhood. Anything else on that?
Just that we are just barely covering the surface of this, guys.
Yeah.
We encourage you. The purpose of these past two episodes on this topic is for you to go to Adam Young's, not website, but his podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's number 159.
Yeah.
And listen to this, because as an expert, he has great detail to help you understand this better for yourself.
Right. We're all about giving you resources. So today, thank you for listening. Today's episode was brought to you by Lori Kenny CPA. Their firm is a professional CPA agency giving advice for the individual and the small business. So check them out at Lori, L-O-R-I-E, Kenny, K-E-N-N-E-Y, CPA.com. As always, thank you for listening. If this has been helpful to you, like, subscribe. And if you'd like to give financially, if you'd like to donate to go to the production of future podcasts like this, just go to our website at FahrenheitMentoring.org.